very minimal damage that suggests his previous life. Like, you know, he had a mother. There's never any mention of the father. So I figured he's an only child, no father.
That makes sense.
In a very, poverty, slum.
You fight a lot, right?
Yeah, street. And when he's a teenager, he's been in a street gang or something.
Yeah, okay.
A popping gang. And,
because at one point he says, you know the Panther Moderns?
Yeah.
He says, well, they were like another group.
Right, yeah.
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 That gave me the clue that he had was definitely in that.
He talks about his childhood in one little part.
There's a flash of being
a rooftop.
A rooftop.
That's right.
That's right.
Little
yeah.
flash.
That's right, yeah.
So, but he's also, as the Dixie Flatline always says, it's a quick study.
Yeah.
Very intelligent. Very intelligent.
Joe Boy, quick study.
Yeah, very intelligent. And, I'm not entirely. You said something about his literacy level when we were looking at your program, and there's really no indication in the book that he can read very well.
Yeah.
It's like just kind of prints and capitals. It's a very laborious process for him because he's post. He's post book.
Post literate.
Yeah, he's a post literate man. I didn't want to play on that too heavily. The only people who have books are the Tessier Ashpoets, who have them as part of their collection of
In Istanbul is one point where they
right.
still
this
use
the guy's
letters.
Oh,
isn't that
quaint?
I picked that up.
Yeah.
So that definitely he can't read.
And he's a loner.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's a loner. Probably has a kind of lack of affect.
Yeah.
When he's a teenager.
Yeah. Definitely. You picked him out that way, remember? In most of the city, he was right in the center. He had nothing. He wasn't dominating. He wasn't passive.
Yeah. Yeah,
friendly
and runs on adrenaline.
Yeah.
That kind of nervous system. And like the speed and stuff. It's really an attempt to recapture something that he's lost that his body used to be able to do for him.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
And it's also the thing of given the data in the book, the keys to his personality are his estrangement from his body.
The meat,
which it seems to me he does overcome. Like some people have criticized the book, or actually criticized me for not bringing him to a kind of some kind of transcendent experience, but I think in fact he does, and he has it in the construct of the beach, and he has it when he has his orgasm, and there's a long paragraph there where he says like he recognizes, it's like he accepts the meat as being
that's on the beach
infinitely this infinitely complex thing, but that's about as close as to me. After that, he was always a little bit more human.
In some ways, he reminds me of some of Burroughs' characters.
Yeah, he could be one of Burroughs' boys in a way.
Yeah.
That kind of wild boys. I mean, that's partly where this comes from. Anyway, that kind of imagery. I mean, I am more to Burroughs in that. I constantly say I do too when people say, who influenced you, but a lot, it's a very strong Burroughs influence. I didn't think I'd be able to put that over on the American science fiction people because they either don't know who Burroughs is or are just immediately hostile to this guy using their, he found 50 science fiction and just used it like a rusty can opener on his society. They never understood, but he was, I probably read was 15 when I read Naked Lunch, and it just splattered my head all over the walls. And I sort of have, sometimes I have my megalomaniac fantasy that some little kid in some small town in Indiana picking up Neuromancer at their
palm. Well, that happened, maybe. Don't worry, there've been 500,000 already. Right this minute, there are 10 doing it right.
I did that too. I bought Naked Lunch when I was 18, and I've carried it with me for 10 years, and I've never read it. I bought it back then and thought, what's this? And I've still never read it, and just pulled it out of a box from the garage the other day, and I took it up and I was going to read it. Then we saw this videotape on it that Tim had.
Yeah, which we'll take a look at tonight. So I think you've already seen it, but we'll take a look at it.
Well, yeah. I had to try really hard. One of the things I was learning to write, I had to teach myself to not try to write like Burroughs. You know, he was that kind of influence. Mm-hmm. Had to weed that Burroughsian stuff out of it.
Yours is much more clear. Yeah, you don't have to dig. I mean,
here's this interview I've got that I'll give you guys that in one of my more rare lucid moments in London, I told this guy that the difference between what Burroughs did, what I did was Burroughs would just glue the stuff to the page, but I airbrushed it all.
That's a very good lesson.
You know, it's different, but that just random thing that Burroughs. Well, he didn't really invent it. It's been around forever.
What are you talking about?
The Burroughs cut up.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Technique, just as a way of freeing your mind.
Brian Geisen invented that. It's in that movie. You ever seen that little film?
He was talking about that.
It's in that
movie.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at that this evening, I think.
Well, if he reads it, I would be interested in, you know, kind of intimidated to know what he puts
it. I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him this afternoon. Maybe I'll call him while you're here.
I didn't want to shake hands with some awe afterwards readings. Yeah, no, he's too much of an icon for me to handle.
You know, Burroughs, you probably know that Burroughs and I think I can say we're very close friends, and I think that Burroughs really feels that I understand himself, but we've been through a lot of stuff, and Burroughs, I went to Tangier, Allen Ginsberg invited me to Tangier in 1971, I think, and I was there, I'd written about it several times, and Burroughs walked in with two beautiful English boys, and I'm talking, and I was telling you about his new drugs, and he knew many times more about drugs than anyone in the world, and we were just absolute childish Harvard professors doing a big research project on drugs. And Sheriff Burroughs thinking, oh shit, here they come, Boy Scouts, and, you know, and they're going to save the world with drugs, yeah, sure. And then we brought him back to Harvard. He had not been in the United States for a long time, and he had still, oh, he was a cult figure. And he came to Harvard, and we put him on the Harvard tape roll for a couple of months, and he went after the prison order doing any of that, and we got to know him very well. He couldn't stand us. We were just much too goody-goody, and we were all, you know.
Straight guy.
Yeah. And he used to love, we had hired this black psychiatrist to be our front. He was a gay, it's like black and gay, so imagine how outside he was. And he thought we were ridiculous squares too, you know. So he and Burroughs used to get together, and they'd come over to our house, and Burroughs would drink a few gin and tonics, and the two of them would start teasing us, and just to push us as far as we could go on birthday. Well, anyone that says they wouldn't fuck a 12-year-old Arab boy is either crazy or liar.
Billy Burroughs.
You know, I'd love to hear William Burroughs read the Julie Dean lines. I mean, now that I think about it, what does he say so about the wars? He's talking about this nuclear war they've had. He says, that's great things for your markets.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's very Burroughs.
It's uncanny to me, Bill, to read what you did with Dean, because Burroughs is very much a dunce. You know that?
Yeah. Well, see, I'm a real Burroughs freak. Like, I've sort of seen everything about Burroughs I ever could, so yeah. I don't even know if I was thinking about it. And he also likes clothes, kind of thing. Yeah, he writes about
when he had Brighton Dresses his tie. Yeah. Burroughs always wears a Burroughs and a tie. Hmm. Yeah, these are all this.
Yeah. Also, that Julie is 135 years old.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
All right, it looks like that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well.
DNA.
Okay, let's go. We have a case being a wild boy, and that led us into Burroughs. Like in high school, he was kind of a loner and went with a gang.
Yeah.
What about his sexual experience as a teenager?
He would be. Compulsive, promiscuous, heterosexual, not responsive emotionally.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Very cold and not trusting the experience of what. He's also the kind of guy who would probably be prone to.
Okay.